Going to be doing this now every Tuesday at 8 a.m. We're going to be joined by Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette and now 93.7 The Fan. He's a co-worker now, Dorn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with us on the hotline right now. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, he's energetic. He's excited.
It's great to hear you. The co-worker, not even the guest. I guess the guest that is the co-worker.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm pumped about this, though.
Colleague, peer, and friend.
Yeah. Yes.
Jason Mackey. Jason, you wrote about the change to Russell Wilson, and now, I mean, from my standpoint, hindsight is 20/20. They look like a totally different offense, a totally different team against the Jets on Sunday. One, are we making too big a deal about a dominant performance against a 2-5 football team? And if the answer is no, then question two is, are the Steelers a legit contender in the AFC, in your opinion?
I'm going to go with no and yes, Adam. I mean, yes, the Jets are dysfunctional a little bit at 2-5, but I don't see what the Steelers did as unique. I mean, I guess put another way, it's repeatable. I can expect Russell Wilson to play like that. I thought he was efficient with the ball. He involved George Pickens in the passing game. They threw downfield. They trusted him to make plays. They ran the ball effectively, which has happened 2 weeks in a row. They played good defense. They shut down the run. I believe those things can continue, forcing turnovers. Again, yes, you have to sort of bake into the stew that the Jets aren't the greatest team in the world, but at what point do we have to declare the Steelers a part of this thing? I'm comfortable doing that. 5-2, they're right there. I'm watching the Ravens last night. I mean, they're right there as well, but the number of teams that you can – confidently put ahead of the Steelers at this point, to me, you can count them on one hand easily.
How much better can they get underneath Russell Wilson from what you saw the other night? And we talked about this a lot throughout the last couple months and really last week. Can Russell Wilson elevate his receivers? Can he elevate the players around him? And he did. But how much better can they get from now until, let's say, even December?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Dorn. I mean, Jaylen Warren had the most explosive performance by far that we've seen out of anybody. I know that's not directly relative to Russell Wilson. Van Jefferson caught a touchdown. Calvin Austin had a key catch late in the game. Like, he can involve those guys more than he has. Darnell Washington becomes even more of a factor in the passing game. I like seeing the ball spread around. I like seeing the ball thrown to George Pickens, certainly, but getting those guys, those ancillary receivers involved, I think you can get a lot better in that respect. They're going to get Zach Frazier back here before too long. That's going to matter some on the offensive line. But to me, this offense, this team, I know it's just one game, but seemed to really respond differently or respond well, however you want to put it, to Russell Wilson.
Jason Mackey joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jason, are the George Pickens woes now behind us? Do you think that he will get the ball enough to be a good soldier moving forward?
I hope so, man. I hope so. I wrote after the Dallas week that it was just getting tiring, which it was. I like what I saw in this one a lot. I thought it was interesting. Russell Wilson sort of divulged that he had a conversation with George Pickens after that Dallas week about staying with it and staying positive, trusting the process. I hope it was a growth moment for George. I mean, look, in the fourth quarter, he's blocking downfield. He's engaged. Hmm. And you know what? Like, I understand George's perspective of wanting to be involved. So get him involved. Get him involved. He's a terrific wide receiver. Throw those 50-50 balls up and count on him to make a play. I mean, no, he can't handle himself the way he has in the past on the sideline with teammates, blocking, et cetera. But I hope and think that a corner was turned. I think the Steelers kind of have a recipe for how to manage George Pickens, which is fine. Throw it up to him early and often, let him make plays. And I think Russell Wilson is cognizant of that. I think he's very much aware of what they need to do to get the most out of him.
Jason, the Penguins are 3-4 right now. What are some of the good, some of the bad through seven games that you've seen with the Penguins? They take on the Flames tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to be working on something a little bit later, Dorn, about the defense, and that's where I'll start with the bad. They have not defended well at all. A hallmark of Mike Sullivan's teams has been defending the slot, the area around the goal, and they've been abysmal with that. They've been abysmal giving up goals off the forecheck, scoring chances off the forecheck, high danger scoring chances. Like, basically any sort of tight, responsible defense you'd want to see, the Penguins have not done it. Tristan Jarry has not been good, but I would argue their problem is bigger than goaltending right now. It's defending a lot of their own ice and how they manage the puck. And so you can tear them down with that. I think there has been some good. Kevin Hayes has been a pleasant surprise. Lars Eller has been very good on the third line. Sid and Gino have been every bit what you'd expect. Drew O'Connor has added some ancillary scoring as well. I guess you could say depth scoring underneath the Stars, but they have to defend better. If this Penguins team can't play a more responsible brand of hockey, they're going nowhere.
Well, it's great then that they play Calgary, who's scoring 4 goals a game, and then Edmonton. Can the season get away from them in October?
Bad habits can be developed in October, and I guess that feeds into what you're saying, Adam. I mean, it is so incredibly long. So, I mean, they can claw their way back. Here's what I think is a fascinating sort of endpoint here. Not that I'm rooting for it, but what do you do? If they can't play a more responsible brand of hockey, if Mike Sullivan isn't getting through to them, if you're FSG or Kyle Dubas or whatever, you can't change all the players. The coach has been around. He's the second longest tenured coach in the NHL behind John Cooper from Tampa. Sooner or later, you have to look at it and say, all right, they're not responding to this guy. And I hate it because I think the world of Mike Sullivan. I think he is one of the best handful of hockey coaches in the NHL. And it would be extremely weird with him going to coach Team USA in the Olympics and all that stuff. But like, right now, for whatever reason, they're not listening to him. So, yes, I think the season can theoretically get away from them, although it's going to take more than a sample size that we've, you know, what, 7 games so far.
Jason, me and Adam are fans of this. And, you know, just looking around and hearing people talking about this, it seems like a lot of people aren't fans of this. And I wonder where you stand. Are you here for Yankees-Dodgers World Series?
No. I hate it.
See?
I hate it. I might not watch. Honestly, I think
really?
It's
wow.
Yeah. Dude, congratulations on all of your success. You spent like $300 million on your payroll, and that worked out. Great. You identified those huge talents such as Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, and you paid them a bunch of money because your TV network brings in an absurd amount of money relative to your competition. Really great job. I mean, I like some of what they've done. That's not to like intentionally, you know, bag on them, but I'm not entertained by it, man. MLB goes around thinking, sorry, you probably touched a nerve here with me, but you know, it goes around saying that there's like this parity in the game. And no, there's not. There's not. Like there's some small market teams who you know, Moneyball and small market baseball well, and then they get cast off to the side, and you've got the big spenders there left at the end. And I'm sorry, I've just got fatigue on seeing these teams. I would rather see there be more genuine parity the way there is in the NFL.
I mean, I agree with that, but you're telling me that you were more interested in Texas, Arizona than Dodgers, Yankees?
Yes.
Really?
100%. Wow.
100%.
Man. Wow. I mean, maybe I'm unique. I root for something new. I'd rather watch the story that Texas had unfold than the same old with those two. If anything, Adam, I'm more intrigued by the Yankees just because it's been a little bit. It's been a little bit, but I like seeing teams like the Guardians who develop their own style, who, you know, can survive with the big boys while doing it differently. Like, I don't know. I don't see what you're telling me by, again, spending like $300 million on payroll, give or take 40, 50 million when other teams aren't required to spend any more than 80. And then you win. And then we act like it's some great dramatic thing. You should win. You better win. You're spending a crap load of money.
I come from a place of just being a scarred, big-time Pirates fan. I don't want to see Cleveland win. I don't want to see Tampa win. I don't want to see Kansas City win. I don't want to see Milwaukee win. Dude, my small market team isn't getting it done, let the rich guys do it. Let the rich guys win because it just makes me sad when other teams do what the Pirates should be doing and then get rewarded for it. Honestly,
see,
you can make the flip side argument, which is to say, hey, look, those teams can, so you should. But because the Pirates can't, won't, haven't, I don't want to see anybody else do it. Just like I don't want to see Indiana win a college football playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like if my team can't do it, I don't want to see your team do it. If my team's not the Cinderella, I don't want to see Cinderella. God, I'm a jerk.
You're filled with so much hate.
He is.
That's right.
Come on, brother.
And Jason, we have run out of time, but we do look forward to seeing your Penguins piece a little bit later that's going to point out why they suck so bad defensively. Thank you for your time, and we will talk to you next Tuesday at 8 a.m.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jason.
See you, buddy. It is a pleasure. Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette right here on 93.7 The Fan. Got a text here from a Brooklyn area code saying, Jets gave y'all free game because Aaron sucks. Sorry, not sorry. Does that make you feel better? That make you feel better, Jets fan? A, thank you for listening. Odyssey app, AUDACY, your Odyssey app. Secondly, okay, your team sucks. Your quarterback sucks. Great.
Right.
You feel better?
Right.
I want to talk about that a little bit coming up next. Like, are we overreacting to beating a 2-5 team? We'll get into it. We'll talk a little bit about the World Series there. I think that's a good question. Like,
Same. That's what I want to see.
Is USC good at football this year? I don't think so.
No.
But when they play Penn State, I watch because it's a helmet game.
Right.
Like, is
Colorado good? I don't know. I don't think so. But I watch because it's Deion and they have a lot of hype around them.
Yeah, they're a brand now.
They're a brand. Like, I want to see brands.
When the NCAA, hell, we'll just do it now. When the NCAA tournament starts, it's all about upsets. But when we get to the Final Four, I'm sorry. I want to see Kansas. I want to see
North Carolina
and Duke and Villanova.
Same. Like, I'm with you.
And I think most people agree with that. Like, Yankees Dodgers does it for me. I would have preferred Yankees Mets because, like, come on now, the hate, Subway Series. But Yankees Dodgers, it gets blood pumping. It just does.
Yep.